It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our Cannabis Q&A with the host of Burning Issues on CannabisRadio.com. It's Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
So glad to hear your voice and be back on your show, man.
Oh, it's great. I've been traveling a whole bunch. By the end of this year, I'll have 45,000 air miles.
Holy cow.
I know. I should get a frequent flyer, but since I'm taking a different airline every time, they never build up enough miles on any one of them, so... I got to find a way around that. Anyway, folks, reminder, our phone lines are open at 971-533-7111. If you'd like to get your question into our chat room for Dr. Mitch Earlywine. And until then, we will get Dr. Mitch's reaction to some of the stories that are in the cannabis research and study news that are out there. And the first one, Dr. Mitch, which one did you want to tackle here first? Let's see. We've got how about this? Chuck Rosenberg, head of the DEA, says that medical marijuana is a joke. And I think the only joke I found in there was him talking about smoking leaf. What's your reaction to Chuck Rosenberg?
I was completely flabbergasted. The Journal of the American Medical Association, literally 3 weeks before this, had just said medical marijuana, it's for real, and had a whole issue basically devoted to it. And then the head of the DEA can't read JAMA? I mean, it was just completely embarrassing. I was stunned.
You know, we had thought once we had gotten rid of Michelle Lenhart that this sort of nonsense would maybe abate a little bit, but it seems like they're in full reefer madness mode still. Why? I mean, they're so much, they're so far behind in the polls, like 90% of the people now support medical marijuana. We're getting to the point where half the states are going to have it. What's their intransigence? There's only 10 states that don't recognize some form. I mean, even down to the CBD oil. So what's going on with the DEA? What are they smoking, and how do I get some?
I feel like Chuck really isn't on top of this literature, and I understand being DEA, that job has to suck, man. But he's got a whole lot on his plate, but he could certainly have one of his assistants just pick up that last issue of the Journal of American Medical Association and write him a little blurb. It's kind of embarrassing.
What a shame. Well, we'll still have to fight more to get marijuana's medical usage recognized. And the good news in that respect come from the two leaders in the Democratic Party that are fighting for the 2016 nomination to one degree or the other. Senator Sanders has proposed a bill to completely deschedule cannabis, you know, treat it like alcohol or tobacco. And Hillary Clinton has taken a more measured approach by proposing reclassification of marijuana down to Schedule 2. Which proposal would you favor, and what would you tell the other candidate as to why they need to switch their position?
Well, I'm sure all our listeners will be stunned to learn that I want to declassify, not reclassify. And I'm afraid Hillary Clinton's proposal is just not going to make much change for the good. I really would have a hard time getting any research done with a Schedule 2 drug. We'd still end up with ridiculous arrests. It's just not going to get to where we need to go with a plant with a 5,000-year safety history.
And I had read Normal's deputy director, Paul Armentano, had written, maybe it was in a Facebook post, about how there are special regulations, even among the Schedule 1 drugs. Cannabis has its own little regulations to it, so even if you moved it to Schedule 2, it wouldn't change those regulations. Is that accurate?
Sad but true. And Russ, the irony is you'd still have to go to the federal source for the plant. So literally, you know, you could have an open dispensary right next door, but if you had National Institute of Health research money, you couldn't use that cannabis. You'd have to go get the ditch weed from Mississippi.
Now, what a shame. But as far as I'm aware, Senator Sanders endorsing complete descheduling is the most progressive position on marijuana reform any two-party candidate has ever taken.
I just like that guy more and more every day. I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, you're up there in upstate New York. He's from New Hampshire or in Vermont, that area. So maybe there's something in the water up there.
I can only hope.
Well, speaking of New York, there's a story coming off of Medscape here. Now, New York, by all accounts, has one of the most dysfunctional medical marijuana programs out there. Non-plant, non-smokable medical marijuana. If I'm not mistaken, there's just five producers or something, some low number like that. But the latest story talks about how doctors in New York are going to have to complete a four-hour course in order to be able to recommend cannabis. Now, I got to thinking, maybe this is a good thing since so few doctors actually ever hear of the endocannabinoid system, but what's your take on this, being in upstate New York yourself?
I mean, you know, I'm always delighted to make sure folks get as much education as possible. The sad thing is, it's $250.
Oh!
It's not going to be particularly accessible. Every physician has to have a certain number of continuing ed credits every year. So I think, it's going to be great to have the hours, but I just feel like it's stacking the deck against the kind of encouragement we need for physicians to become regular prescribers and to really, end the agony associated with all these illnesses. I'm still lamenting the fact that New York has really only approved a small subset of the potential disorders, and some of them just are markedly less sensible. The fact that we have Huntington's disease, which is relatively rare and doesn't have the overwhelming support that something as simple as insomnia might have, kind of breaks my heart.
Yeah, and that's part of that medicine of last resort thinking. You know, if you're dead and dying, well, okay, we can overlook you being a pothead, I suppose. So. That's the kind of framing we're attacking here on Cannabis Radio. And check out CannabisRadio.com for Dr. Mitch's show, Burning Issues. You can get a podcast every week with a lot more in-depth discussion of some of these topics. Now, another topic in here that, oh my goodness, this one, this one rings true to me, Dr. Mitch. It says the presence of THC metabolites in hair is not necessarily indicative of marijuana ingestion. Did a whole bunch of people trying to get a job just get a new excuse, Dr. Mitch?
I gotta admit, but I think they deserve the excuse. So it's not the hugest sample or anything like that. Nature Scientific Reports is sort of a way to get ideas out fast and furiously, but they're basically showing that there are a lot of different ways you could end up with THC metabolites in your hair, and they certainly aren't all because you necessarily ingested it, and definitely don't mean that you ingested it recently.
Wow. And there's been other problems with hair testing. I've read reports on it being racially biased against people with thick, coarse hair, Mediterranean or African-American style hair. So that's always been a problem. And then, a guy like me with a shaved head for the most part, having to get armpit or chest hair for a job, just beyond the pale. And I'm glad to hear about this study.
I just always would much rather see a work sample than a hair sample.
There we go. A resume. How about that? All right. Let's take a look at some of the medical aspects here that are coming out. I want to remind folks that our phone line is open. If you want to call in, it's 971-533-7111. Or we're watching on both the Cannabis Radio and 420 Radio chat lines. If you've got a question out there, we'll be glad to ask it of Dr. Mitch. But if you're shy and you want to keep it private, you can always send an email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. Now, in the medical marijuana news, very interesting study claims that marijuana can treat ADHD, adult, and I don't remember what it stands for.
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder.
There we go.
It's funny because my student Mallory Laughlin had published a paper on this just based on some self-reports from some of the listeners here and some of the folks on the normal listserv, and it's very strain dependent and very symptom dependent. So I don't think this is going to be replacing all the other treatments, but it's sure nice to be able to add this. And, it's a relatively small sample, but what a surprise. As soon as they all had the chance to switch to cannabis, the vast majority of them wanted to. And I think the key to understand is that, ironically, these are hyperactive people, but a stimulant actually helps them calm down. So the Ritalins and the amphetamine-type treatments basically give the brain enough arousal so you don't have to run around fast trying to seek more. Mm. And I feel like the more stimulating strains, the stereotypical sativas, are the ones that are going to be beneficial. And I think early trials could be confusing if we don't pay particular attention to the strain.
Yeah, I was just, you know, as you said that, I was thinking, yeah, all these studies that we've got, and we look them up on PubMed, and they're all talking about smoking a 5% THC joint, but that's the Mississippi ditchweed, isn't it?
Sad but true. If it's an administration done here in the U.S., that's what it is.
Oh, my goodness. All right. And one more great story here, and quite ironic considering that organ transplant lists and those hospitals often kick you off the list if you test positive for cannabis. But this report out of the UK says, could cannabis help transplant patients by delaying the rejection of organs and slowing your immune system's attack against the foreign organ? What do we know about this?
So this is actually pretty wild, and I was afraid this was going to turn on us and people were going to say, oh, THC is going to hurt your immune system. It's not an immune suppressant so much as an immune system regulator. And here's an opportunity to essentially delay the rejection of incompatible organs in a way that's really helpful. And nobody ever really talks about it, but the meds you end up taking in order to get a transplant are super nauseating. So I do feel like the other potential is that this could make folks be more likely to stick on the regimen that would be required in order to make sure that they can essentially get an organ transplant.
Yeah. And, you know, I went through that transplant situation with my friend Ganja John getting his kidney transplant, and the THC, well, it seemed to ease his pain, and it didn't seem to hurt the transplant any. So we're happy that everything turned out well for him. Before we go, Dr. Mitch Earlywine is the host of Burning Issues on CannabisRadio.com. Any preview of upcoming episodes you'd like to give?
Oh, so I had a splendid recording with Normal founder Keith Strupp that should be up soon. And I've got, some wonderful stories to tell. Your neighbor there, Madeline Martinez, and I should be getting a show up relatively soon as well. I think listeners would get a big kick out of it. And then the last 6 minutes are always not necessarily cannabis related, but more just self-care and mental health and having a good day. So people might want to tune into that. And it's a good way to sneak, you know, your non-user friends into the podcast and get them to eventually hear the good word.
That's right. Burning Issues with Dr. Mitch Earlywine on CannabisRadio.com. And Dr. Mitch, I'll see you in D.C. in a couple weeks for the DPA conference.
Alas, the parenting conflicts interfered. We'll have to wait till May and go down there for the legislative flying.
All right. We'll see you then. Thanks, Dr. Mitch, for joining us. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Take care.
All right, folks, stick around. Time for a radical rant right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. Which forms of marijuana legalization will be acceptable now that Ohio Issue 3 has gone down in flames?
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.